All right, well, tonight we're going to do something a little different. I do encourage participation. I'd like some interaction with us tonight as we are in the realm of apologetics. But we're going to just talk about some questions perhaps that come up, especially in this area commonly that you may come up, posed with a question, perhaps a neighbor, family member, coworker, and just I want us to mention some scriptures together, things that we can go to in our Bibles when these type of obstacles or even excuses that people have, difficulties of believing or receiving Christ. And so again, these are things that you may come in contact with when the gospel conversation opens up. We could have a mic ready just in case we need one. Do we have any of these that are ready to go? Do you know? I'll grab this one right here. Would the brown one be fine? All right. That's good. We got it right here. I'll just keep it up here just in case we need it and go from there. But let's begin with a word of prayer. Father, I do want to thank you again, Lord, for your grace and your goodness in our lives. We thank you for how powerful the gospel is, that you're still saving people. You're still saving souls. And thank you that we can be a part of it, Lord, whether it's planting, whether it's watering. But we are recognized tonight, Father, you're the one that gives the increase. And so, Lord, I do want to just ask that you'd lead us in tonight's conversation as we simulate some of the questions that do arise in our gospel conversations. Would you help us, Lord, to grow stronger in the faith and, Lord, more fervent for reaching people for Thee. Lord, help us in this. We need You. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Well, I'm sure we could come up with some various responses, obstacles that you have encountered in your times of sharing the gospel. But let's go to our text first that's been our foundation through this, and go over to Peter. And as we find there in our Bibles how we understand Peter tells us to answer, how to answer in 1 Peter chapter 3 to those that are seeking truth or even just inquiring about truth. Notice again verse number 15, 1 Peter chapter 3 verse 15. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. That is our goal. We want to be ready. We want to be ready always to give an answer to every man. And so tonight I want to start off with this one, and you may come up with one too, but I want to open up the questions that you may have to the congregation tonight on things that you come in contact with. But I have come in contact with this next obstacle, and you may think of some verses. You've maybe come into this situation as well. But one I have heard is when you are introducing the gospel to someone, I've heard this: I am afraid that I cannot live the Christian life. I'm afraid I just can't do it. So if someone says that to you, what is going to be your response? Let's start with just a few people. We're not looking for sermons or sermonettes, but just what would be your response? A quick response on that. Yes, Suzanne? And that's exactly right. It'll give power to the weak. Well, what's a verse? Is there a verse that comes to mind? That's all right. No problem. Someone else. Dan, I saw your hand. That's right. And if you didn't quite catch the reference, Brother Dan referenced 2 Corinthians 5:17. Well, when a person gets saved, they become a new creation. They're given a new nature, right? Good response. Yes, Christian, I saw your hand, and Sherry, we'll get you next. Yeah, that's true. So in that verse you're quoting, are you thinking about John chapter 15? Yeah, where Jesus talks about, I am the vine and you are the branches. And he goes on to say, for without me, I believe it's, what is it here? I'm just looking at it. Yeah, verse 5. He says, the same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me ye can do nothing. So just explaining to that individual that, hey, listen, we are weak and we can't do it in ourselves, but Jesus does it through us and gives us the power to do that. Someone else. Sherry, did you have your hand? And what's the reference on that again? Yeah, Philippians 1:6. So, right. That's an excellent verse for you guys to jot down there, because a person that says, I can't do it, that, along with these other verses, it says it explicitly, it is God who both worketh in you to will and to do of His good pleasure. So, it's one thing telling people the scripture and the reference, but if somebody were to say that and you were trying to explain to them exactly what we're telling them the Bible says, what kind of analogy or illustration could you use? And describing or explaining how God will do it in you or through you. Does anybody think of a way that we could explain it to a person that's saying, I can't do this? Is there any analogy that we experience on everyday life or anything that somebody maybe would click with? Can you think of any example? One of the things that you think about is as a child that cannot do for themselves, maybe don't have the intelligence or in certain areas or the strength, the physical strength, and how the parent will provide that power that they do not have. I mean, that's just a small example, but nevertheless, it's God gives us the power to do what we should. Anybody else think of something like that, Becky? Are you being the glove and Christ being the hand? Excellent. Excellent. I mean, that is beautiful, because it is a picture of us being the glove, the instrument, if you will, and God's hand just going in us and doing the movement and being able to function in that way. That's a great illustration. And you know what's encouraging about that is that's just, if somebody does have that, that's saying, I just don't know if I'm going to become a Christian, because this is what you'll run into a lot, I have found. With someone that usually makes that statement is many times an addict, okay? They're either just an alcoholic, they have a sinful habit that they just don't feel like they can give up. And so what they're doing is, sometimes it comes from what I've noticed, it actually comes from a person that has a bit of integrity, because what they're in essence saying is like, I don't want to become a Christian because I don't plan on giving up this sinful habit. I don't want to be a hypocrite, is basically what they're saying. I don't want to still have this in my life and then just become a Christian and say that. So I understand where some people are coming from when they say that. But then we have to be willing to say, look, you got to trust God to give you victory over that habit, and also be able to explain at the same time that, look, when we get saved, we don't get saved by getting rid of habits. That the Bible says nothing about salvation coming as a result of getting rid of sin. And so we have to clarify that. Salvation is coming to God through the gospel, receiving Christ, and then He moves in and He starts helping us to grow, to be sanctified. And it's very good. Any other examples? Also, yes, Lorraine? Amen. That's exactly right. Just God being there to give us that grace that we need. How about this one, Jude 24, where the promise is now unto Him, talking about Jesus, that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of His glory with exceeding joy. Again, it's referring to that aspect that the Lord God will give us that power. And one of my favorite verses, I consider it one of my life verses. Many of you could probably quote it right now, but it's Galatians 2:20. Paul, it's, you know what? If you have somebody that makes that statement, you know, a good encouraging example. Number one, you'd say, well, listen, you're in good company because I feel the same way. You tell them that. But do you know one of the greatest Christians that we know of, apart from Jesus Christ, who was perfect, sinless, was the Apostle Paul. And the Apostle Paul said, I cannot live this Christian life on my own. That's why he said, nevertheless, not I, but Christ liveth in me. He said, I can't live this Christian life. It's simply Jesus living it through me, yielding to Him daily. And that's encouraging to share with people, to encourage them that, look, you're right, but it shouldn't keep you from believing the gospel. Because Satan will use that. Satan will absolutely use that. Here's one that you will hear that's similar to that, but from a different view. Have you heard this one? You just don't understand what I've done in life. You don't know the sin that I've had. You don't know my history. What do you tell somebody like that? Somebody? You'd say, hey, you know, you're sharing a gospel conversation, and you tell them, hey, have you ever thought about what the Bible says about how to go to heaven? And say, God would never let me in heaven. You don't know what I've done. What do you respond with? Billy? Yeah. Yeah. That is. It is. Persecuting and murdering Christians. The Apostle Paul, before he came to know Christ. And would it be fair to say, if somebody opposes that, would it be fair to say that, look, some of the most well-known Bible characters, Old Testament and New, were people that had some pretty definite problems in their life. And deep issues. Would it be fair to say that? Who do we know in the Word of God that was used mightily of the Lord, but had a pretty bad past? Didn't have the best resume. Yeah. Moses. What was Moses guilty of? What else? Anger. Yeah, I mean, you go down the line, I mean, it just goes through, But who else? David. That's exactly right. Who else? Yeah. Mm. It was. Exactly was. And I you're right, Derek. I've shared that before. And you know, it's one of those things where you encourage people to realize that the Lord, when He looks, when He looked at Brinson Jennings as a lost man, I was no better than Adolf Hitler. I mean, am I wrong? Y'all correct me. Does anybody disagree with that? We were all. Now, I did not necessarily, it did not show its fruit in the same way, but I had the same sinful, dark, just separated soul that every sinner has coming into this world. And when God sees sinners, there are consequences to different sins. There's no doubt about that. Even outwardly here on this earth, there are sins that have different consequences. But the fact of the matter is that when God sees sinners, He sees sinners. And will there be degrees of punishment in hell? That's a good question. And someone poses that. I'm not saying we have to get in that tonight, but I do believe that the more light rejected will be more accountability for eternity. And I think the same goes with us as believers. Once we're saved, I do believe that we are laying up treasures in heaven, not to enjoy to ourselves, but to be able to worship God with. But the fact of the matter is, everyone is a wicked sinner separated from a holy God that needs the righteousness of Christ. And I'm thankful because we stand faultless before God now, positionally, because of Jesus Christ and His blood. And isn't it a blessing, church, tonight to be guiltless? Amen. Amen. That's enough to make a Presbyterian shout. Amen. Uh-huh. Well, to someone that's saying, that was responded to someone that says, I'm not good enough. You don't know how bad I've been. So I was just explaining, look, sin is sin to God. You know, now that's a good question. What do you tell people that, look, I feel like I'm a good enough person to get to heaven? You know, but to your point, I do see what you're saying. Can a lost person really get their mind wrapped around that, Miss Susie, who has been the best neighbor ever, makes us cake every week, gives our kids a birthday card and money every year, and always is blessing us. She's always honest. She's always kind. She is just the epitome of truly a moral person. But she rejects the gospel of Jesus Christ. Well, again, we are sinners. And whether you're Susie, that's what I just described, or whether you're Susie in the penitentiary, we have to understand that the Bibles I was sharing with that young man this afternoon at Good News Club, I said, buddy, read that verse there for me in Romans 3:23. And he read it. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. It's not coming to me. Somebody help me with that illustration on how short we fall. It's like one person, like to from here to the moon, you may have one person that can, or to something with outer space, you could maybe get this far. Or maybe it's an illustration with the Grand Canyon. You might have somebody that could jump a long ways, and then somebody that jumps, you know, a little less, but they still fall short. Does anybody remember how that illustration goes? It's failing me. Yes, Billy. Right. Right. Yeah, I thought I'd heard that, and that's maybe where I read that. But that's the idea. No matter how high you can jump, we're all coming short. Infinitely, eternally short. So it's immeasurable, like the glory and holiness of God. It's immeasurable. So it's even hard to get our minds wrapped around that, of how mighty and holy God is and how we fall short. But and then it's just amazing as well of how that same sinfulness can be totally eradicated, totally forgiven by the blood of Jesus Christ, totally made righteous before a holy God because of the blood of Christ. And boy, I'm thankful that it's under the blood. Amen. You know, Brother Mark, I hadn't heard y'all sing that in a while, or whoever sings it. I can't remember, but I'd love to hear that song again sometime soon. It's under the blood. That's one of my favorites. But these have been good just to discuss a little bit tonight, and I want us to do more of this. And in fact, what I may do is have you submit some obstacles that you've come in before, and just what people have said, you know, something that we can all benefit from, and sharing the gospel and entering those conversations. It's very important. It's a blessing to talk to people about the Lord. I hope you make that a daily habit, to try to have a gospel conversation with someone. We were ending the trail the other day, and it might just be a little awkward at first, but we were getting ready to get together, and there's this couple there that they were just as kind as they could be. They asked us for a sandwich, and we had already had lunch and everything, and then they asked me for a beer. Would you like a beer? And I said, not today. I'm just kidding. I said, no, I no, thank you. And then we just got to talk with them and whatnot, and ended up just going into the gospel with them. But they were open. They were totally open, you know. And she finally said, are you a pastor? And I said, I just picked up on that. And I said, well, yeah, I am. But we just want you to know that the Lord loves you, and he died for you. And gospel conversations are just waiting to happen all around us. And I hope you'll be looking for those, because this is one of the things I have found in my Christian life. In order for me to grow in my communion with Christ and my burden for souls, I have to make it a point to try to have gospel conversations. It helps me. It helps me, and it helps us as believers to make that a point. And I hope you will do that. We all fail miserably at it. Let's be honest tonight. We all fail miserably. None of us are where we should be. But one of the things we can say is, Lord, just help us to always be ready to give an answer to every man. And so may the Lord be glorified. That's a great point. She was asking, once you get started, it's okay. It kind of feels like it's rolling, but what are some initial conversations that initial phrases you can use in opening up a gospel conversation? And I'm going to give you the easy answer first is let the Holy Spirit lead you in that. Okay? But what I like to do is start off with very non-confrontational phrases. You know, isn't it a beautiful day today? You know, don't you like Starbucks coffee? You know, whatever it might be. I try to let it be organic. This is what I have found. I have found that if you look for these opportunities, even if you're an introvert, I'm an extrovert, so it comes a little easier to spark up conversations. And so I'm not saying that this is easier for me, but I do feel like at some points that maybe it's a little harder to start the conversation. And what I would say to my introvert friends, brothers and sisters, is that you just have to work a little harder. It's not going to be any easier, but praying for those opportunities and just say, Lord, give me an opportunity to start a conversation with somebody that won't be totally awkward, you know, and whatever the case may be. The Lord can do that. But also a good one that I have found is gospel tracts. I have found, and this is just my experience. Someone may have a totally different experience, and it depends where you are. But about, I think if I could tally up the numbers, I would say 98% of the people that I give a gospel tract to take them. I would say the vast majority. In fact, it's very rare that someone will reject that. Now you take some places in our nation, like for instance, I have a friend that did a missions trip up in New York, and they were reaching the Jewish community, and they went in there and were sharing the gospel, trying to reach the Jewish people. And do you know that it was the opposite? There was about 98% rejection. Zero interest. And there was one, they met in the street, a Jewish man, and he took it gladly, and they were able to start sharing the gospel with him, and he listened. And he said, you guys have given me something to think about. So again, I understand it depends on where you are, but most people around here in our community in the Southeast, not all, but most, are willing to take a gospel track, and sometimes that will open up a conversation. Just different ones. Yes, Christian?
Well, even when they do reject, it's still a victory for us.
Yes. Christian said, even when someone rejects a tract or a gospel witness, it's still a victory. Because the reason it is because they were given light. You obeyed the Lord, because that's all is required of us, is to obey. And then they received light, and perhaps that was a seed. You know, and I really mean that about the Holy Spirit, too. I feel like we do need to be led, not to use that as an excuse, but I do think there are times when it's not the right time. And you be sensitive to the Lord in that. And I one time I messed up. I had a friend, and I was talking to somebody, and I was trying to witness to them, and he was late. He was going to be late because I was determined to give this person and explain the gospel, because I think they were being argumentative maybe and whatnot. And I was actually in the flesh, folks. I was being carnal by being too aggressive. I was being too pushy, and I was being argumentative, and then it was even worse, because my friend, who was a believer, who loved the Lord, he was going to be late. I was being disrespectful to him. So there are times where it's just not the right time. And of course we know it's not the right manner, but nevertheless, think about those things. And what I want you to do is to think about some more, again, obstacles, difficulties, and then also maybe you could come back next week and we could have some intro conversations, some things that would help. Does anybody want to mention one thing before we transition to pray about a bridge conversation, something that's helped for you in just building the bridge to a gospel conversation. Anybody? Yes, Donna? Okay. Right. That's right. Yep, that's right. A good conversation. People are thankful when you recognize their car or their truck. You know, it's, hey, I like your truck. Hey, thanks, you know. Those little conversations can open up a conversation. Sherry? Well, that's where I say a gospel tract will help a lot. You may be leaving, they may be leaving, especially after a gas station. You know, I had to do one quick the other day at Sam's because, I mean, there was a line going out in the parking lot. And I just a quick conversation, give them a gospel tract, and you got to go. You don't have time to sit and chat. And if they'll take it, that maybe they'll read it, maybe they won't. But sometimes you won't have time to sit there and talk. So... okay, well, something like this, all right? So you got John 3:16 right here. Just say, sir, ma'am, this is a little pamphlet about the one of the most well-known verses in the Bible, John 3:16. Can I leave this with you to read it in your free time? And most people will take it. So just something like that. You don't have to have some formal transition. It could just be like, by the way, I give out these. My name's Brinson. I give out these little pamphlets that talk about John 3:16. Can I give you one? So, I don't know if that's exactly what you're looking for, but sometimes you just have to do it like that. Are you looking for something different, or? So you're saying not at the gas pump type conversation. At the park walking? Well, where do you guys go to church? That's a good one. Do you guys go to church here locally? And that's sometimes a good one, you know, because people can connect church and the gospel. And then if they say, no, we don't go to church, then that will give you perhaps an open door to say, Do you believe in Jesus or anything like that? And at that point, you may have people say, you know, no, and I really don't want to continue talking about this. And then that's when I absolutely respect that and no longer continue the conversation. Yep. Yeah, the question is when they have their earbuds in on the plane, which that happens so much, and you're right. The best thing is to try to get them a tract right before or right after. Because I am convinced that, you know, sometimes it's just planting a seed. You know, that's what really the gospel work is. Sometimes it's just a little seed. That you may not be able to get into a deep conversation, but you even mention the name of Jesus. And so I just really feel like that is what you're looking for. You're looking for to plant seeds, to water the seeds, and trust God to give the increase. But my challenge to all of us tonight is to let's just strive to look for gospel conversations. And because people are dying and going to hell, and I hate that thought. It should move us all to compassion. And God is saying, go after them. I love them. I love them. You go after them. I'm sending you as an ambassador. And you tell them that I have sent one to be their Savior. And I feel like that type of motive and focus will help us to at least plant seeds. And may the Lord help us. And it'll sharpen you. It will sharpen you because some people will throw some questions your way. And you're like, I hadn't thought about that. And that's good because that can be a test of our of our growth in the Lord in certain areas, and asking the Lord to help us. But good comments tonight, good questions, and we'll continue some other questions next week. And maybe if you could, can I give you a homework assignment? Would you write down perhaps a question that you've come across that's been a difficult one for you that we can look at together and see what the Bible says about it? I think that can be helpful to all of us in answering some of these questions that do come up.